Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm the other Brian, Shipper.
That is fantastic. If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, or you'd just like to shoot the breeze with us for a while, you know, we'd love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. And, you know, leave us a message there and Jack will get a hold of you. Or you can go to the Hammer Lane Legends webpage at hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. We don't care which way you get a hold of us, just get a hold of us because we'd like to have a conversation with you. Ship, tell them about the voicemail line.
Yeah, voicemail line, crazy, wacky story, short story, whatever you see or encountered or had to partake in, you can leave a voicemail. There you go. Ooh. 515-585-MERKAM. I said 610. That's 515-585-6375 or MERK.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ship. You know, we say this every week. If you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, any kind of food that has any longevity on the shelf, or coffee that has longevity on the shelf, or if you need some kind of solar panels, or if you need some kind of solar generator or
anything for off the grid.
There you go. Anything for off the grid. You know where to go. Prepare with HLL.com. That's prepare with HLL.com. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
Have it. Soup to nuts.
The most important thing they have is 30-year coffee. Coffee that will stay on your shelf for 30 years. If it lasts that long on my shelf, it's lucky.
No, there's any coffee can stay on my shelf 30 years.
Well, yeah, when you don't drink it, it's like, just give me the Coke, give me the Coca-Cola or the Mountain Dew,
That's it.
You know, all that stuff being said. And, tell them about the Buy Me a Coffee there. Speaking of coffee.
Keep us fueled there with buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Virtual tip jar. Yeah, if you feel like leaving us a little tip and a little comment there, you can go and do it. If not, thanks for looking. While you're looking, look at the gear section. There's crap there. We're supposed to get hats in the near future, probably when there's a Republican
we have been
in
saying,
office.
We've been saying hats in the near future for
right.
the distant past.
Pretty near the whole Biden adventure. Yeah, gear section. We're on all social media platforms, X, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Y and Z, and who the hell else knows whatever else. Brian's on the Facebook, not me.
Yep, that's my dig. That's where I'm at.
Because you won't find me anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We don't, you know, it's all gooder.
Yeah.
It's all gooder.
I like to keep a low profile.
A low profile. Guys, you're a people person.
That's right.
That's why.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing.
And today I have the non-tracking government truck I have. I brought the old 49 out.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, let's take a look at it then. Yeah.
They can't, well, what'd they say? Electronic pulse. Something
like that. An EMP. They cannot take you out with an EMP.
Nope.
You're good.
We can just drive right through.
Fantastic. Well, hey, today we're talking to Mark. He's a returning guest. It's great to have him back on the line. Mark, how are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
I am glad to hear that. Everything been going all right, and you know, as they say, living the dream.
Oh yeah. Since I talked to you last, some interesting developments occurred. When I talked to you back in December of 21, I think it was.
Yep.
I suffered an injury at work. Now that I'm no longer with that company, I still don't want to give too much away, but
right.
I was delivering food to restaurants, local restaurants, and I was at a restaurant up in Joplin, and the assigned driver was on vacation, so I was doing his route, and I used to do that route, so I didn't have any problems with it. And it was a key job, meaning that there's nobody there. I just unlock and let myself in and, you know, disarm the alarm system and whatnot. And so I get there, and the key's not working. I'm like, well, what the heck? You know, last time I did this, everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk around the building to see if there's an alternative entry. And I stepped on a man cover that was loose, and it flipped on me.
Wow.
And so I fell into the grease pit, and it jacked up my left leg pretty much from the ankle all the way up to my knee.
Oh.
And, of course, it was all that nasty junk, too.
Right.
And there was a Med Express literally across the street, so I just hobbled over. And they shot me up with antibiotics, cleaned the wound, and bandaged me up and everything. And when I get back, the manager's there, and, you know, he's like, what happened? And I told him. And he's like, we changed the locks like 6 months ago. And the other guy that had been delivering the route was so late all the time, there was always somebody there.
Wow.
So he's like, we didn't tell you guys. And I'm like, well, you know who I was and how I do my job. You know, I was always here before you got here. I was in and out, and I was already heading to Kansas by the time, you know, you showed up for work. So it caused a big stink.
Uh-huh.
I was out of work for a week. I had to get several more antibiotics and tetanus. And it just really put a really bad taste in my mouth with that company.
Sure.
And we have a warehouse that we cross-docked with another company. That's out of North Dakota with the big trucks. Because at that time, I was driving straight trucks that I was told was going to be temporary. They were going to put me back on the shuttle running back and forth to Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And here I am a year later. I'm like, I'm still driving the straight truck on a city route, and I don't like this. And they're just like, well, hold on. And the owner of that company that we cross-docked with, I came in late one day because my truck died. Near Washburn, Missouri, about 50 miles away. And I was pretty much told, you're on your own. And luckily, I have a brother-in-law that lives up in that area. And he sent one of my nephews to pick me up and meet me halfway so my wife could pick me up. And then they came and got the truck. So by that point, you know, when I got back real late that day, he was like, man, you know, it's too bad you don't got a Class A. I sure could use another driver. I'm like, well, you know what? I do got a Class A. Are you hiring? And so I, you know, I put feelers out with him. I mean, he was ready to rock and roll, but their company was transitioning, moving a production line down here to Arkansas.
Okay.
So he put me on hold, but in the meantime, I started putting other fishing poles in the lake.
Sure.
And I actually interviewed with J.B. Hunt.
Okay.
And I've had a CDL for 22 years, mm-hmm. and they wanted me to go back to square one and go through driver's training. I'm like, no.
Why?
And I ain't going to go, go out there over the road and have a trainer with me and all that. I'm like, nah.
Right.
If this old dog is screwing it up, I ain't going to learn how to fix it.
So. Yep, exactly. Not anymore. Uh-uh.
And another outfit was, they had said it was going to be a Class A, but what it was a tandem dumpster.
Okay.
Going to the work sites and picking up the dumpsters at the work site. And I went and checked out some of their places. And I mean, when it rains here, it rains. And it's red dirt, mud, clay. And I'm like, how many times do your trucks get stuck in the mud? He goes, we got our own record. I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that either.
Right.
and then Tyson, I told them with Tyson, I was like, look, I will haul processed chicken all day. I'll take it to where they fast freeze it. I'll go over the road and deliver it, but I will not do the farms and I won't do live haul. I won't do the feed trucks. And they wanted me to do the feed trucks going to the actual farms.
Okay.
And just like I told you, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, this outfit that I'm with now, they're at the warehouse out of North Dakota. He finally called me and he goes, okay, look, you said you wanted a manual and it was going to be an extra $50,000 for a manual Peterbilt because they operate only Peterbilts. And he goes, but I do got a truck in North Dakota that I can have down here in 2 days if you want to start in 2 days. And I was like, yeah, I want to start in 2 days.
Nice. Yeah.
And it's, the gear shift actually does have a manual selection. And you just reach down with your thumb and select your gear. I mean, it's not the real floating through your speeds and whatnot, but
right.
You know, it's a good truck. It's a Peterbilt 379. I'm sorry, 579. And because this truck worked up in the bean fields up in North Dakota, it's got a triple axle, well, a pusher axle. It's not actually geared, but it has a pusher axle to offset the weight, so I'm legally rated for up to 128,000. But
wow.
Of course, I don't do that.
Right.
But it is an extra wheel, so I'm an extra 3 feet longer than any other regular truck. So it does get pretty interesting when I have to get in some tight places.
Man, I bet it does.
Well, what's funny is. The company that I was with driving the straight truck, it was the division of Cisco, the local supervisor. It turns out he had also put in to transfer over to this North Dakota outfit.
Uh-huh.
But he had put in to take over the warehouse and supervise the warehouse. And so the big boss called me in and he was like, you're hired. I need a driver. I just want to know if you can still work with him. And I said, we're going to be working in the same building on the same dock. He's going to be doing his thing. I'm going to be doing my thing. I said, I hope we do. I didn't know he was going to be hired. I was just implying that, we're a cross dock and we'll run into each other. And I'm like, hopefully we still stay friends because we've got a friendly relationship. And he goes, okay, good. Because I plan on hiring him to run the warehouse. I was like, wow.
Wow is right.
So it turns out, even though he used to be my boss, now I've got 1 week seniority on him.
Sometimes it's just sweet, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it turns out we're in the same building. We still see the same people from the other company. And they've actually gone through two people in the last year trying to replace me.
Wow.
And so it's interesting to see, and they're always... when the shuttle driver runs into us, they're always like, hey, are you coming back? Like, hell no. We're coming back. When are you coming over here to the good side?
There you go. That's it. it's one of those funny things that, you wonder why people ask questions like that. I left there for a reason. The reasons haven't changed, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting because I used to load and unload the truck. So he's like, well, you'll take care of yourself. You're your own shipper, your own receiver. And I literally am. I'll come back. I'll load my own trailer. I rock and roll out of there. When I pick up loads, come back to Arkansas to our warehouse, I unload it and everything. So mm-hmm. it's funny because all the other over the road trucks, they'll see me just get out and just walk into the warehouse. They're like, well, who the hell's that guy? He didn't check in. And I've had a couple drivers like, hey, you didn't check in. I'm in front of you. I'm like, I work here.
I'm home. Oh, that's freaking awesome. That is awesome.
Now everybody's got to be the check-in police.
No, exactly. There's always that guy.
I was in Memphis a week before last. The heat index was 108.
Wow.
And I was actually at the Cisco warehouse, and my appointment was at 10. I checked in at 9. At 1 o'clock, when I'm the second to the last truck, and I've already been in there twice, like, what's going on? You guys literally unloaded me before 10 and sent me a receipt for the lumber fee. Why am I still sitting here? They're like, well, we got to count it. And it's beans, 50-pound bags of pinto beans. I'm like, are you guys actually opening them up and counting them? The beans in the I mean, I loaded it. It takes me 25 minutes to load it.
That gives a whole new meaning to bean counters, yeah. Huh?
Yeah. And then it turns out like the girl that first checked me in, she had to take off. She had a family emergency. This other girl that was new didn't know what was going on. And when I finally do get my paperwork, it was signed off at 11:25. And I'm like, I could have been out of here 2 hours ago, people. Wow. What is the deal?
That is, oh my word, that's freaking infuriating. Wow.
And then the itself, I had 17 pallets. They're 2,200 pounds each. They're 50-pound bags. They said they were put in their pinwheel. I'm like, they were not put in their pinwheel. I loaded it myself.
Right.
It's not, but they charge extra for pinwheel. And then they said they received 8, and they had to break it down to 17 pallets. And so there's another, the whole thing was like $333 lumber fee. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Wow.
And my company, they just pass it on to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just ridiculous. And in the actual logistics capstone, like in the last couple months, they can't keep anybody. And so it's like every place I deliver to that I'm involved with capstone, it's gone from 1 hour to 2 hours, now to 3 hours to get out of there. Because wow. They just don't have the bodies to actually physically unload it.
Has the freight increased that much, or is it just that they literally don't have enough people that they haven't been able to keep up on?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's telling me is they don't have the manpower, and I'm like, look, I loaded it. I can unload it. Well, you're not authorized to be on the dock and operate our equipment. I'm like, how do you think the stuff got on the truck? Yeah. I literally got a picture because when we load our trucks, we have to take a picture of every row. So when it does... when it is delivered, we can prove it wasn't jacked up. Like, we had a load 3 weeks ago, two of the totes, 10 of being spilled. The driver did some type of crazy hard-ass stop, and he spilled 4,000 pounds of beans in the back of the trailer.
Wow.
Then we had to buy manure shovels, and that's how you did that.
That's a lot of beans. Yeah. Wow.
We rebagged it, and then they because we don't have an actual cleaner, so they had to ship those two totes worth of spilled beans up to North Dakota to get reprocessed and washed again.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Got dirty beans, you got to make them clean beans.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that must be you had a reefer trailer?
I'm a dry van only.
Oh, okay. No, but I mean, the beans that spill, was it in a reefer or was it just a dry van? Because those beans get in the reefer trailer, you know, it's an aluminum floor. They got the grooves in them. That sucks trying to get them all out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got a big shop back when that does happen. We even got some Conestoga trailers coming in, and we had one guy that didn't put any straps, and one of them almost fell out. I honestly really don't know how the canvas kept it in. But wow. I mean, he could have literally been driving down the road. You could have been driving next to him, and all of a sudden, here comes a big tote full of beans comes flying out.
Wow,
that's a wake up call.
Yeah.
Wow.
If that don't make you shit your pants.
Oh, my word. Well, can you imagine being that driver and walking back and going, holy crap, I'm glad nothing fell out. I forgot to strap it.
Yes. Here's my roll of Flex Seal.
Oh, man. Gorilla tape.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
And that's what's interesting is when they went back for the pictures of when they loaded him, again they were taking photographs of every layer that they were putting on.
Mm-hmm.
And normally the drivers, you know, speed up the process while they're being loaded. They'll go ahead and start strapping them.
Right.
And this guy didn't. The pictures showed like when they were finished and you know, loaded him, they just figured he'll be okay. He's going to have some brains and strap it out in the yard. But the photographs clearly showed there was no strap on that.
Oh, man. Yeah, never count on somebody doing something like that. Never count on them coming back to do it, you know, to finish up their job. If they didn't do it on their way through, you can't count on them doing it the rest. You know, they're not going to come back and hit that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was up in over on the east side of Arkansas about a month or so ago, picking up rice that was in totes. So we're repackaging in 1 pound bags at our warehouse, rice and beans in 1 pound, 5 pound increments. And it was my first load to this place. And the guy's like, how many straps you got? And I'm like, I got a load bar and a strap. He goes, we need at least 3 straps because they actually put the strap, through the loops of the totes for normally there'll be like 2 totes in the nose and then mm-hmm. a single tote and then 2 totes. So the single tote has to be strapped in.
Okay.
And he's like, I can't load you, you know, unless you do this. I'm like, well, crap, you know, where I was at was strategically located in the middle of nowhere. I was literally 50 miles away from the nearest Love's truck stop, either wow. in Jonesboro or Palestine, or I can't remember the other one, Hazen. And he's like, you know, and so I showed him, I'm like, look, I'm literally in the middle of nowhere. And he goes, go to whichever one you want. We just need the strap.
Pick one.
and it was funny because, you know, I had to go through these towns, and I saw farmer supplies, and I stopped at like 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I need some cargo straps, but all of their straps were the hook. Where mine locks into the sidewall.
Right.
Yee channel.
So yeah. they had the straps but the wrong type.
Wow. Not helpful.
After the third stop, I'm like, I'm not even gonna waste my time anymore. I'm just gonna go straighten it. So I went to Jonesboro and came back, and then they loaded me. That winded up being, I think, a 19-hour day. I just declared a big day, and then I was already like, hell, I'm illegal anyway, so what does it matter? And it turns out they lost count. And when I got back and they unloaded me, they're like, you came back with 2 extra totes. And so I was 4,000 pounds overweight on top of being dirty. and then when I went to the guy, when I went there the next load about 2 days later, uh-huh. he goes, I put too many totes on you, didn't I? I said, yeah, we noticed, and I felt it.
So did you have to return the totes, or what happens with that? I mean, they have to account for those 2 totes, don't they?
They just adjusted it and paid for the 2 extra that we got.
Wow.
So it all washes out in the end.
Yeah, that's called a hot shipment. They got 2 extra before they needed them.
There you go. They're ahead of the game.
Right. They won't run out.
Oh, my word. That is amazing.
And then last week, we had been talking, you know, I mean, I've had to run overweight on certain occasions, knowing that there's not going to be any scales. And I had a load to Springfield that was only 4 pallets of beans, and then I had a load going to Mount Home, Arkansas, North Central Arkansas. And the guy that I used to work with used to be my supervisor. He's the one who gave me the paperwork. So in my defense, I did not screw this up. He's the one who, these are your two loads. Well, the one he gave me for Mountain Home was 24 pallets of dry goods going to a food bank. Okay. You know, macaroni and cheese, you know, chili and cans, spaghetti, all that stuff, dry goods. And so I loaded it. And then I stacked the light stuff just what I could. And that's a whole new thing that I've had to learn is, you know, I used to just haul the stuff. I never had to take into consideration the weight ratio and placement and whatnot. So I've learned how to do that. And then I loaded up the 4 pallets for Springfield on the tail. And I get to Springfield. And the guy's like, hold on. We were supposed to get triple wash pinto beans, and he only gave us pre-wash. What's the difference? I'm like, I don't know.
I would say 2 more washes.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And he's like, well, hold on. And the receiver signed off on it. But then when my company got involved, they're like, no, we got the wrong product. It was ticked wrong. Go ahead and get those pallets back. So that took like an hour to sort out until finally it was the actual sales. Sales is like, yeah, this is the wrong product. We can't send this out to our customers. This is for Reinhardt Foods. And so they're like, yeah, we can't sell this to our customers. You know, it's the wrong product. So go ahead and load those 3 up. So they went ahead and they charged me another $75 convenience fee to reload the pallets.
Convenience, huh?
And then I start heading to Mountain Home, and then they call me up and they're like, what load do you got for Mountain Home? And I told them what load it is, and they're like, that's the wrong one. You were only supposed to have 4 pallets going to Mountain Home. Why did you take that whole load? You knew you were overweight. And I'm like, well, I figured we talked about this, and that's how we were going to roll.
I got a 3-axle trailer. I'm good. I don't know about you.
So they had a 3-axle me turn around. Tractor. So I went all the way to Springfield, halfway to Mountain Home, just to come back, and I only delivered 1 pallet, and I was overweight the whole time.
Wow. That was an expensive day for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
And then we just, like, last Monday, we fixed it. And they charged us a additional $100 for rescheduling because we screwed it up the week before on top of the $75 convenience fee. And I'm like, man, I'm in the wrong business.
How about it?
This is what I don't get. The person that's getting this is charging back you for you delivering to them the freight that they ordered. Am I saying this correctly?
To my understanding, yes. But that's not my job to get.
Okay, terrific.
I just assume, you know, because, I mean, these are food suppliers, Reinhardt, Sysco,
right.
Springfield Grocers. I assume they just pass that on to the customer, to the restaurants that's buying it, saying, hey, you know, this week, your 50-pound bag of beans is going to cost an extra $2.
Yeah, they're just kicking the can down the alley.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're kicking it down the alley, yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Oh, well. You know, as long as somebody pays for it.
Right.
That's everybody's attitude. As long as somebody pays for it, we're in good shape, so.
Yeah, that... God bless you for going to food service warehouses because I did that already.
Yeah.
And the same thing. You have 18 pallets, but till you get done, it's 49 because they want to put it on their wood and they need it their block style. And it can only be this high. And it can only be this high.
I'm like, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Been down that road.
That's not happening. Sorry. I got to go.
Yeah. Way back in 2002, 2003, I was driving for Fresh Express Taylor Farms, and I was working out of Colorado Springs and delivered to Albuquerque and El Paso. That was my dedicated route. And at one of the warehouses in Albuquerque, it was a Taco Bell. So the shredded lettuce, it was stacked, like 9, 10 high to the max high. And I would have to break those down in the warehouse on their dock in the cooler. And I got pretty good at, you know, grabbing like 3 of those boxes at the same time and boom, 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 restacking and doing the same thing, you know, like 20 pallets into 40 pallets. But at that time I was smoking. And, you know, you come out to the Albuquerque in July and you've been in a warehouse that's at 35 degrees doing physical labor for like 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then when you step out, that first breath was like, I wouldn't smoke for like an hour.
You couldn't breathe for like an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I swear one time coming back, back on the I-25 back to Colorado, I sneezed and it felt like I broke a rib.
Ooh.
I mean, I literally had to pull over on the side of the road. Like, what the hell did I do to myself? And it was sore. When I was with them, I was delivering to Cisco in Denver, and my steps were icy, and I slipped and I grabbed the door and damn near pulled my left arm out of the socket. To this day, it bothers me.
Wow.
Because I didn't because if I had reported, their program was I had to sit there and watch 10 hours of safety videos about how to get in and out of the truck.
3 points of contact all time.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
My arm was still maintaining that point of contact. It just wasn't, you know, with the rest of my body.
Right.
Exactly. Well, you know, it is what it is.
I did that already, and I slid on the step with my knee.
Oh.
And it was like a cheese grater effect.
Yes, sir.
But I had 3 points of contact at all time. Minor fact, I had 4 at one point. That's when the pain ensued.
Yes. Oh, my word. But, you know, it's funny. When you talk about going into, like, these warehouses, the coolers and that kind of stuff, when I installed security systems years ago, every now and then I'd get into, like, one of these, like, Americold or something like that. And I forget where I was at. I was at, I don't know, it was one of these, you know, local freezer warehouses, and we were in and out so often putting in the new security system that we actually made it snow inside the freaking freezer because the warm air would come in and it created a cloud. It would condense up, you know, and it eventually started to snow inside the freaking freezer.
Hacky weather ain't have nothing on you.
No, it was nuts. And thankfully, I mean, yeah, that was freaking cold because, you know, those were like, you know, freaking freezing freezers, you know.
And the guy that works there, they didn't say anything about snow today.
No, it's like, what the heck? So that's years ago. But boy, you just brought that memory back when you were talking about going in, you know, into coolers. I'm like, yeah, I've been into freaking coolers, dude. I've been into freezers and froze my bejubies off and made it snow.
Yes.
So it was exciting.
You didn't know. Make it rain, made it snow.
We made it snow. Oh, yeah, but that's years ago. So what are you going to do? So what else is new? What else is going on, Mark?
Went out to Colorado 3 weeks ago to see my grandson.
Uh-huh.
I had a load out there, so, you know, took the big truck and made money doing it. They were going to get me a couple beer runs up to the Dakotas, but the whole schedule fell apart. So I was just like, you know what? Just I'll take some vacation days. I've got plenty.
Uh-huh.
So we winded up staying there for a week, and it was funny, because we hadn't seen my grandson since he was like 1 month old. I mean, we do, you know, like Zoom calls and whatnot,
right?
But he wasn't really sure of, you know, who we were and, you know, seeing him face to face, but. It's funny. He was a little standoffish, but then he warmed up to me, and then he started calling me dude instead of grandpa.
That's awesome.
My son's like, hey, what's that? I said, yeah, I'm good with dude. I'm too young to be a grandpa.
Heck yeah, dude, that's awesome, dude. How old is he?
He's three and a half.
Oh wow, that is really cool, man, dude.
Yeah, he's so, at at preschool. I know a dude. He drives a truck.
Yeah, that was him blowing the horn that I posted there on the Facebook group.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
That was him. Yeah, and he did the same thing. He almost did a face plant on the cheese grater.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, that was cute though. That was really cool.
My oldest son rode out with me, and my oldest son, he's 19, so he pretty much was at the desk in the sleeper working on his laptop and doing whatnot. And my wife would stay up front, but the passenger seat had an air ride, and she felt it.
Oh yeah, man, that's awesome. That's a nice way to get away. You know, what the heck, you get paid to do it. So, you know, take a few vacation days while you're there. That was nice. That's cool.
Yeah, man, that's, she's like, well, she wants to retire. She's only 57. She wants to retire already. we're still good, but, and she's like, well, maybe we could do this. You know, we just live in a truck. I said, yeah, I mean, you see these guys with these big monster sleepers? And, I mean, that's what they do. It's yep. That was their house, literally.
Yes,
but that's
it is.
A lot of money.
Oh, my word, yeah.
You gotta work a lot to pay that off.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yes, and let me tell you, you don't see none of those condos coming east either. They stay out west.
Oh, yeah, they can't get into
exactly.
Anywhere.
Nope.
You're talking just 3 feet with your extra axle on your tractor? Hell, I think they're about 6, 7, 8 feet longer frame-wise.
Yeah. But boy, every now and then you see one, so they're pretty.
When I got to the Cisco in Memphis a couple weeks ago, their reefer, where they unload, I don't know how these guys were getting in there. I mean, they literally had like inches to spare. And I was just like, you know, as soon as I checked in, I told the guy, I said, hey, look, this is a dry load. I don't got to go screw with that, do I? And she's like, no, honey, you don't got to worry about that. And I don't know, thank God. That's good. I mean, that probably would have had to take all the tricks in the book and slide the tandems, wiggling in there and slide the tandems, wiggle in there and slide the tandems. I mean, yeah.
Or yes. For $30, you grease the yard jock, he backs it in, you can rehook.
There you go.
That I don't understand is, you know, I mean, they know these big trucks can't do that. So just have them drop the trailer in the street and use the yard dog, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
It's like they set you up for failure. Like the food bank in Colorado Springs that I delivered to, huge, beautiful, brand new warehouse. And the last thing they thought about was, oh crap, how are we going to get stuff in the building? It was a mess to get into. And I'm like, I don't understand these guys. That should be the first priority.
Yeah, well, we get our trucks in every day. It's a 26 foot straight truck.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why that seems to be the last plan, the last thing on their plans is, well, how are we going to do this? You know, do we have enough room? You know, I mean, my hat's off to you for doing what you do, that, you know, put up with the crap you put up with. You know, I kind of like doing line haul and LTL because I know I'm going from terminal to terminal or a relay point, and I'm not going to have to.
Bad enough, some of our terminals are under construction.
So it's rough enough as it is. But then again, you know, I've been out for 4 weeks, so I'm good. You know, I haven't had to see any of the construction yet. I have not been there.
But also, you forgot how to back up too, probably.
You have to back them in yet?
Yes.
They don't have the yard jockey to do it for
you? This is why they're going to have you go out with a trainer to reacquaint you with the life and style and skills.
Because the past 30 years haven't drummed it into my head enough. You know, I'm going to be out for, you know, eight or 12 weeks or eight or 10 weeks. And, you know, when I go back, I got to be retrained to figure out how to do this again. Whatever, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the recuperating from the hip surgery and you just kind of, you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I do the Bronco. Legend of the Bronco on Friday on my way back up from Little Rock. And so that was like your first show back, huh?
Yeah. Since surgery. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Because he was penned up here and he didn't have nobody to talk to for 3 weeks.
Just give me something to talk about.
He's a little slower now. He's a little, you know, his tone's a little mellowed out now. You know, he's got it out of his system.
But boy, I tell you what, you know, when you're not doing anything and you're not seeing anybody, and you know, what can you do? You know, you're recuperating from hip surgery.
Yeah, so he was around tighter than a mainspring.
Oh,
in a cuckoo
my
clock.
Word, yes, sir, yes, sir. Just give me a topic. We'll yak it up. You know,
shoes. Go.
Are we talking high heels or pumps?
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, do you think you could actually do that with your wife, Mark, where you would go out and work together in a truck?
Probably not.
I was just curious because
I was going to say something, no, I figured I'd wait for your answer.
When you brought it up, I was like, I love my wife, but I don't think so. I love her. Michelle's awesome, but I don't know if I could deal with that. I mean, that's just me.
There's one thing about togetherness and there's togetherness.
You stay on your side of the truck.
And that's too much togetherness.
But, you know, okay. I mean, there are people who really do it, and my hat's off to them for being able to do it. I don't know if I could. I wouldn't want to be like a team driver with anybody because I would get sick of them.
Because you're not a team
player
either.
I'm not a team player, and I'm not a people person. That's it. I'm not like you, Jeff.
Welcome my world.
Well, what's funny about the last, maybe 6 weeks or so, I've been taking my dog with me. He's got some terrier mix, but he's small, maybe 15 pounds. He's a good guy. I don't know where this hair keeps coming from, though. I mean, it's like he should be bald at this point. I don't understand it. But I mean, he rides with me. When I last counted on Friday, he's been with me on 33 trips.
Wow.
And so he rides in the sleeper. I got kind of bear kicked because I tried to put a seatbelt harness in the passenger seat here, but he would just drive me crazy to the point that at some point I thought he was going to fall off and hang himself. I'm like, I don't need that. So your ass is going to the sleeper. Stay back there.
Right.
He rides with me, and then when I get home, we'll go sit in the garage, and I'll be working on something, and he's with me. And then when I sit down on the sofa to watch a movie, he's with me. And I told my wife the other day, for Christ's sake, it's almost like being married. He does not get no more than 3 feet away from me.
He's got a little 15-pound terrier, and he says he got dog hair. I got a German shedder, okay? And I know exactly I don't know where this dog hair comes from, but it comes. Yeah. So, two seasons, shedding and not.
Well, yeah, we had a St. Bernard Golden Retriever mix. Her name was Sweetie, and she was enormous. And she was a shedder. There was two seasons with her, too. It was shedding season and Christmas.
Right.
She shed all year long. All I'm right. Like, where does all this hair come from? Mm-hmm. Like you said, you'd think they'd be bald by the time, year one is done. I mean, we had hair under the sofas, under the furniture, all over the place.
We used hair for stuffing all for the sofa.
Like, what in the world is with this dog? But she was huge, but she really was. She lived up to her name. She was a sweetie. She was awesome. And then she died, so, such is life,
Such a sad story.
That was the last one. That was it. I was done. After she, when she was, I said to Michelle, we got a black lab. And we had a black lab and a Sheltie for a while. And they were great dogs. They were, but I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I didn't want to have to go through that again. So we was like, we talked about it. Michelle wound up, getting rid of the dogs for us because I don't know. I didn't have it in me. That soft spot was like, it was broke now. So I didn't, and the kids were growing up and moving out. And I was like, if we could go visit the kids anywhere or anything, we had to, put her into, we'd have to put the other dogs into a kennel and all that. So, I just said to her, at this point, no, I'm done. So, but then what does Michelle say to me last night? She wants to, I like dogs. I was like, what are you saying?
Sounds like you're moving to Tennessee a little sooner.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe it's either a dog or move to Tennessee. Or no, move to Tennessee and get a dog.
Tennessee, get the dog.
Well, it is what it is. But Michelle's into little tiny little dogs. Like she talked about,
little yappers.
Yeah, she was talking about like a toy poodle.
Nah.
And that's why I was like, is that a dog? Or is that just like a big mouse?
That's a squeaky toy for a Great Dane.
It's like a big hamster. But whatever. So, what are you going to do? That's life.
So last night, we do a Zoom meeting for one of my old units, weapons company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. And we had a Zoom call, and there was about 20 guys on it. And the guy that's hosting is up in Kansas City. You know, so we're all talking, you know, And all of a sudden we hear this, what's that? It's like, what the hell is going on? Like, oh my God, my dog's throwing up. The guy's abusing himself.
Oh, that's a fun Zoom meeting. Now everybody else is sitting around going, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then everybody started dropping off, but I stayed with one guy. He was my squad leader when I first went in. And me and him talked till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So it was good getting with him. And they kicked him out 2 years prior to retirement. So, yeah, we both had a lot of bitter stuff to talk about.
Wow. Why'd they kick him out?
Some bullshit. He was a good guy. He was my mentor. When we went to the Philippines in 87, it was a rough tour, and he really pulled me out of that nosedive. And he had his own issues. But yeah, two years prior to retirement, they were like, "Man, get your ass out."
Wow.
Yeah, we don't need you anymore. Thanks a lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I worked at Fort Carson, there was a guy who was the MP, got out of the Army as a Sergeant D5.
Mm-hmm.
Did 20 years in the United States Army, MP, and never left the continental United States.
Wow. Never.
And we were all just blown away. And, we were doing contract security, so he was a sergeant. Then they made him a lieutenant. But he'd come in there and start talking. They would be like, shut up. You've never been anywhere, man. For Christ's sake, you didn't even get to go to Germany or Korea. Don't tell us your stuff.
Where you been, San Diego?
We're still connected via Facebook, but I mean, he was a character because he grabbed his pistol belt down by the buckle, stick his thumbs in there, and he'd go, ha, 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 too easy. Really easy. Like, yeah, you are the king of easy.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Oh, my word.
Yeah. I think one of his tours was at the Presidio in San Francisco. He did like 8 or 10 years there, which is like really unheard of.
Wow.
And especially being in San Francisco and then with the cost of living allowance. I mean, it's San Francisco. I mean, even back in this would have been the late 90s. It still costs an arm and a leg.
Oh, my word. I can't imagine that.
No, it's an arm and a leg and a tent.
Yeah.
So, when we went back to Colorado Springs 3 weeks ago, the homeless population has just gotten out of control. I think Colorado is now the third most lenient when it comes to homelessness. Yeah, I understand, people have their issues. But the stuff I saw, the bus stop that was underneath I-25, it's a park and ride, Colorado Springs to Denver, they've literally taken that over. That's where, when I used to work for Front Range Express, that was our one of our park and ride stops. And, I mean, there was literally, it was a Saturday, and there was easily 500 people.
Wow.
At that, there. Living underneath the bridge. And I couldn't believe it. I told my son, when I joined the Marines in 86, and after boot camp, I flew back out because I had to do my advanced individual training at the School of Infantry at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually flew into Los Angeles because, I'm a young kid. I mean, I'm like, to see the world. I wanted to see Los Angeles for a couple of days before I had to go back to reality.
Right.
If I went to Hollywood, I went to downtown LA. I saw Skid Row. I went to that hotel. It's notorious for all types of crap. I can't remember the name of it. But I saw that stuff, and I told my son a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, this is the same thing I saw on Skid Row, literally. Uh-huh. 35 years ago. I can't believe it's happening.
Right. Are you talking about the Cecil Hotel?
What's that?
The Cecil Hotel?
Cecil, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Look at you pulling off.
I know, right? I've watched, you know, every now and then, you know, paranormal. My kid runs a paranormal podcast. How am I not going to know? But no, it's interesting. That's actually a really interesting hotel. I mean, all the stuff that's going on there, even if I'm not mistaken, the Night Stalker Ramirez stayed there.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
He lived there for a while. Yeah.
Yep. Crazy. I wouldn't stay at that. Did you stay at the hotel or just walk by it?
No, I just walked by it.
I was going to say.
No eye contact.
Yeah, that's me, man. I'm like, when Tony started doing this stuff, he's like, we should go do like a Bigfoot. I'm like, no, because I don't want to run into anything. I'm not, you know. No. That's not my thing. I'll watch it. I'll watch whatever you do. But I'm not going.
I'll live it vicariously through you.
Yeah, exactly. I'll experience it that way. I'm good. You know, so if I was out there, if I was going to go see the Cecil Hotel, it would be to go to see the Cecil Hotel at a distance. I'm not going inside.
Somebody take a picture and mail it. That way we can see it from here.
that's my view. That's how I look at things. It's like, right. You know, I can see it from the comfort of my sofa.
Yeah, we got Google. So you can Google map
yes,
it.
Sir. Yes,
Street
sir.
View, please.
I mean, I know everything has its draw that it's like, oh, it'd be cool to be there and, you know, see it. No, not really. Not if it means I got to deal with something that's weird and creepy. Nope.
Yeah. we've got a little town that's about 45 minutes away, Eureka Springs, and there's allegedly a whole, it's a pretty little town, but it's like come Halloween, they do like ghost stuff. My son's done it, but we haven't gone up there to do that. I would like to go spend the night up there one of these nights. It's a little resort town, with like the old turn of the century buildings and whatnot.
Right.
We just done little day trips there, but we haven't spent the night. I know like this one hotel is notoriously, allegedly haunted.
Now that would be.
I got two ghost stories if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
So the first one, when I was a Marine down in Panama, one of our posts was the Southern Command Naval Headquarters on Port Amador. And there was, this is where they had a skiff, a special compartmentalized information facility where they kept classified documents. And so there was three Marines at that particular post. One would stand at the podium at the main entrance. One was always constantly roving. And the third one manned a machine gun nest up on the roof. And I was corporal of the guard and checking out the post. And I went in there, and the place was notorious that when you went through the double doors, there was flags of all the countries that participate with the Latin American, Central American, Southern Command, which was pretty much everybody except Cuba. There wasn't a Cuban flag. But all the flags were there, and there was a little door underneath the stairs that, I mean, you had to yank and pull on that thing to open it, and it was a janitor's closet. And this thing, in the middle of the night, would just open by itself and then close by itself.
Wow.
Literally. And so the Marines were always, whoever was at the podium, when that did happen, they would go out and smoke a cigarette, and they'd leave the door open. And they said there was always like a cold rush of air. Of course, it's Panama, and it's an air-conditioned building. But they were like, no, I'm serious, like a real Arctic blast. And finished their cigarette. And some of them said when they would come back inside the building, if they didn't feel that rush of air, the doors would start to shake on the outside.
Uh-huh.
And so they would open up the doors again. And then they would feel that cold air rush, and then the door underneath the stairs would close.
Wow.
And then these are all stories, but I was actually out there checking post, and we went up to the second or third floor of some admiral's office, you know, leather couch, big ass oak desk. We're having a cup of coffee in the admiral's office, you know, and we heard something in the hallway, and we both looked down the hall, and there was a chair moving by itself, like 20, 30 feet.
Wow.
By itself. And then I was just like, okay, all right, I'm out of here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to check out the other places. Good luck with that. But there was a couple of Marines that just refused to, you know, when that came up on the rotation that they were going to be there, we just knew they weren't going to be there, so we would change it because we didn't need them freaking out that, you know, they saw something.
Wow. That is crazy. Yeah, and you know, I'm taking a look at this at the Eureka Springs. They have a ghost tour. Ghost, you know, you were saying about the ghost tours and all that. They have a catacomb ghost hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I'm looking at it online. I'm like, wow, spend half an hour of time learning about Eureka's underground catacombs and learning how to use Victorian as well as modern ghost hunting tools, including the FLIR camera, EMF detector, spirit box, pendulum, temperature gun, social ghost hunting app, etc. And I was like, dude, I don't want to be in anybody's catacombs. You know, I don't even like going to the cemetery.
That checked all the boxes. No, no, and hell no.
That's a solid no. But no, that's actually pretty cool. That would, you know, that would be an interesting thing, you know, for somebody to do. Not this body. Yep.
Call Tony.
Not this it's the body, other but show. Somebody to do. Oh, that's, you know, but that's crazy. Is there another ghost story there, Mark?
Yeah. This was back in 2020 during the pandemic. I was running the shuttle from Springdale to Oklahoma City and back, driving a trailer. And, that was down, US 412 and back in 2018, there was a bar almost on the state line with Arkansas and Oklahoma, West Island Springs. It was called Red Dirt. And there's also a casino, a Cherokee casino, a couple miles away. And this Iraq veteran had been at the bar and was walking down. It's a four-lane divided highway, but it's still... Arkansas and Oklahoma are very conservative on their money that they spend on the highway. So there's almost virtually no lines. You just got to kind of make it up as you're going down the road.
It sounds like we should take our trucks out there. We don't have to worry about lane departure.
There you go.
And apparently he got ran over by several vehicles.
Ooh.
And it was to the point, it wasn't until... as near as they can figure about, it may have been at least 3 to 5 days after the accident. A guy was walking down the road and, had seen all this roadkill and didn't think anything of it. I mean, I don't know what the deal is out here in Arkansas, but I mean, it's like the deer everywhere. And these are little white-tailed deer. So, I mean, they'll tear your car up, they're not going to kill you in the process. Like, in Colorado, we had mule deer, and you know that'll take care of you. They can lose your health record. But he had noticed on one of the roadkill that there was something that looked like a tennis shoe. That's when they called the police.
Wow!
And they put two and two together, and it was a pretty gruesome scene. And when they had me running over to Oklahoma City, when I would put fuel in the reefer tank, I kept on noticing that there was like a black clump of hair, and I'm just like, what the hell? And I would pull it off and like a week later, there'd be another black clump of hair. And I mean, this went on for months and I just like, what the hell's going on? This is freaking me out. And I didn't know about this pedestrian that had been hit until something clicked in my head. And so I started, you know, Googling, got on the old Google machine and, I researched it and, he actually had blonde hair. So I was like, okay, this isn't him, but maybe this is something else.
Right.
And I spoke to one of the guys I know back in Colorado. He's a Lakota. And he's like, I think you came across a bad spirit, so you need to give them rest. And he goes, collect the hair and bury it. And I did that. And I didn't have, I wasn't finding this anymore. So it wasn't too freaky. I did that and said a prayer over what I had buried in a Ziploc bag, and it went away.
Wow!
And then when they pulled me off the shuttle and put me back on the straight truck doing local deliveries, they had another guy, Roberto, that was coming over from Oklahoma City driving the same truck, and he said, "Man, you know, something's really freaky. I'm always finding black hair on my tanker." for the reefer. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
You know, I mean, when he told me that, I'm like, oh. So I told him to do what I did. They take the hair, put it in a Ziploc, bury it on the side of the road, and say a prayer over it.
Uh-huh.
And he literally came back a couple weeks later when I saw him. He's like, man, I did that, and I don't see it anymore. And I was like, that's freaky, man.
That is the craziest thing.
I don't know
thing.
If he had a ghost truck going on or what, but.
Wow. You know?
I don't know what that was, but it was definitely something, you know, supernatural.
Wow.
It was always the same equipment.
Uh-huh.
It was old Freightliner, and it was always the same trailer. Because we only had like two reefers. So it was either or, and it was always the same one that kept on having this black hair deal going on.
Wow. That is weird. Yeah, that's different, dude. That is really different. Oh, my word. Maybe they should like make that like a little notice on the front of that trailer. You know, if you find black hair on the tank for your reefer, this is what you need to do. So you won't find this anymore. You know, it's like, give a disclaimer because it's wow. But that's neat though. That's interesting. That is really interesting. You know, that actually worked and it worked twice. So it's not like it was some kind of fluke or, you know, oh, well, whatever. But hey, whatever. That's kind of neat. What do you think, Chip?
I think I don't have to go out there.
Yeah, we got freaky in here.
We were the MREs that the military had back in the late 80s, early 90s had it was kind of like a lifesaver candy, but it was called Charms. And it's actually in a couple movies, like particularly Generation Kill, the machine gunner opens up a candy Charms, like anybody want one. And it's just, you never, that was bad luck. That was bad juju, is to have these Charms candy. That was like when you opened up your MRE, that was the first thing you threw, and you threw it as far as you could. And we were at Bass Pro Shops in Colorado Springs, and they had like 400 Charms. These candy in the drawer. And I was like, oh no, this is seriously bad juju. We need to get out of here.
We're gone.
We can never sell this stuff, even when we put it on sale.
Even when we put it in a basket to say free.
Right.
Oh, wow. That is, well, why was it considered like bad luck to do that? Like what was the reason behind it?
I honestly don't know, except, I mean, they just kind of associated with luck, you know, Lucky Charms, I guess, maybe. I'm not entirely too sure. I'm with a couple other groups, like the Marines that served in Okinawa, and of course, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, mm-hmm. and everybody can vouch for it. Yeah, it's bad luck. So why? I don't know. particularly the military, there's always some type of superstition going on.
Right.
And some of it has a legitimate reason, like, you know, if you're smoking cigarettes, you know, If two guys light up with the same match or the same Bic lighter, that's okay. But the third guy, that means the site sniper's got a beat on you, and the third guy's going to get shot.
Just don't be the third guy.
When you're smoking, you only smoke two cigarettes, and then, you know, the third guy, you're on your own. You light up your own cigarette.
Yes, sir.
Now that we're vaping, I don't know how that translates. Yeah.
Good point. And that seems to be the popular way to go, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was getting fuel off of I-40 at a workman's, and the girl at the register had her vape around her neck, literally. And I just looked at her, I said, are you a baby? She's like, what? I said, that's like having your blinky tied to you. Like, why can't you be normal? You look like a moron. With your little vape thing wrapped around your neck, like it's a blinky, a little pacifier, you know?
Yeah, that is crazy.
I quit smoking 7 years ago. Yeah. And June 4th was my birthday, and I figured, well, you know, I'm going to have a cigarette for my birthday. I couldn't put like half of it. That's when I was starting choking and gagging. I'm glad I'm
yeah, How long ago I stopped smoking? Oh my word, it's got to be like 10 or 15
minutes.
15? No, it's trying to think how far back it was. We were still laying out. So it was 23 years ago, 24 years ago.
Them stop laying out has attributed to your health.
To my health.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
being
been
better.
Good for my, yeah, all right, yeah. It's been, yeah.
Yeah, you're going
to
go there.
My physical, they said it was going to take about 10 years to remove all that crap when you quit smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I still got, you know, three more.
You're still, but you're getting cleaner every day, you know, so that's a good thing. You know, it is a good thing. I you know, when I stopped smoking, I felt a lot better. I really did. You know, it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I can actually breathe. So it's helpful.
and taste food again.
Yes.
That,
yes.
Other thing that I definitely recognize, I can taste food. And I quit cold turkey. Uh-huh. And I've been trying to quit off and on for years. Hey, there was times in the Marines, I was a borderman. And if we weren't on the gun line, we'd be smoking. And when we were on the gun line, I'd have a big chaw of Red Man Chew. And then sometimes I find myself with Red Man Chew and a cigarette.
those were the stressful days.
Stress level 10.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Red Man Chew, a cigarette, and a cup of coffee.
Yeah. That'll keep you going for at least a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's about it.
Light it up, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's, I tell you what, it is a crazy place. And then the things that we do to ourselves, the way we do these things, it just, I don't know. I don't know why I ever started smoking. I started driving truck and then I finally stopped smoking. So it's a good thing. I still drive truck.
Yeah, I drive truck, yeah. Never smoked and never drank coffee. So
you don't even listen to the radio.
I started to lately. Did this you? Week. Yeah, my nerves
just
were
regular, like,
yeah,
radio,
just-
like.
Regular radio, just zoning out.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, believe it or not.
That's crazy, dude. Like, I don't know what has happened in your life that's made you want to freaking listen to the radio.
The world is coming to an end.
Yes. Yes, it is. And that, you know what?
It feels like it sometimes.
Yes, it does.
Last year, Gary Newman, you're familiar with the song Cars?
Yep. Yeah.
He made a comeback. Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails brought him back out, and I really encourage you to listen to his new stuff. I really like it.
Okay.
It's dark, but it's still uplifting. But he was in concert in Dallas back in March, mm-hmm, of last year, and it was like 3 weeks after the Ukraine invasion. And so we, all three of us, my wife and youngest son, we went down there to Dallas. And I had to figure out, you know, what's a good load of ammo for my 9mm and my AR-15. You know, if it does go to shit, how much ammo do I need to fight my way back? You know, so I settled on 500 rounds of 5.56 and 200 rounds of 9mm, and then I was still like, that may not be enough. But my wife is like, no, that's more than plenty.
That's just to go to the concert?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I had that right.
Yeah. And then after the pandemic, you know, it's like if we've got the opportunity, I want to go see live music now.
Yes.
And particularly, you know, because they took that away from us.
Yeah.
So he was like the first time that we've gone to a live concert. So years now, we've seen drive-by truckers and James McMurdy in Colorado, but we went and saw Roger Waters. It was his last American tour in Dallas.
Nice.
In November. And so when we went to go see Gary Newman in Dallas, it was a couple weeks after the Ukraine invasion. And then in November, or no, I'm sorry, it was October, we went to go see Roger Waters in Dallas, and we stopped overnight before we got into Dallas. And, you know, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I go to BBC News to find out what's the new thing I got to worry about.
Right.
And that's when they had knocked out that bridge. That was the first attack on the bridge in Crimea. And I was like, oh, crap. And, you know, and again, I packed, you know, for a fire mission. I had 500 rounds and 200 rounds. And in April, we went to Memphis to go catch Janet Jackson. And that was the first time I'm like, this is kind of getting ridiculous. I, you know, if I do get pulled over, I mean, what's going to be my excuse? I'm like, well, you know, I got to fight my way back, right?
Right. Who knows when the zombie apocalypse is going to happen or whatever. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to go down, and I want to be ready. I don't blame you.
Yeah. So I just took the pistol this time. I didn't take the rifle, but you know, I said, you're paranoid. And then we went to Colorado 3 weeks ago. You know, I'm like, hey, you don't know. Yeah, yeah, but you're going to be, you know, we're going to be with family. Hey, you know. Some of them ain't as prepared as me.
Some right. of them are crazier than me.
Their weight.
But when shit hits the fan, they all want to. They're all behind you 100%.
Yep, exactly.
Literally, he's got the gun.
Oh yeah, oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
And then just you know, just this morning, the bridge got a couple more. I think there's at least four hits on the bridge, so it might actually be out of commission, and that's going to have a dire effect. I mean, I know we talked all the doomsday crap on our last conversation with Tony about the stock market,
right?
But we did not have the bingo card for Russia invading Ukraine.
Exactly.
You know,
those are some new events.
yeah, that's a whole new one that we didn't even think that was going to happen. But then, nope. Quite honestly, when you really start looking at it. The paint was on the wall the whole damn time.
Yes, it was.
Nobody was saying.
Yes, that is the truth. It, you know, so much has gone on in the past three years, you know, between COVID and everything else. It's just, it's like it's been a roller coaster ride, but it's all downhill.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
One of the other podcasts I listened to is Dan Cummings, the comedian.
Uh-huh.
If you're familiar with him,
yep.
He has a podcast called Time Stuff, and he does like true crime and sometimes current events. I mean, just anything that keeps him entertained.
Right.
We actually saw him. He was in concert in Springfield last year too, so we went up and saw him. But he's been doing podcasts for 5-6 years now,
mm-hmm.
And he releases them once a week. And so I've been like, I'll listen to an old one from like 2017, then I'll listen to a new one from last week.
Okay.
And so I'm slowly bracketing myself to the middle. And when we drove out to Colorado, I happened to nail his COVID-19 podcast, where he's comparing it to the Spanish flu. And it was March 27th, 2020.
Wow.
And when, you know, and that's when I started thinking, you know, what he's talking about, he explained it. He broke it down. We have an expression called Barney style.
Okay.
When something's complicated in the Marines, we would break it down Barney style, like Barney the dinosaur.
Yeah.
So everybody understands what the hell we're talking about.
Right. Everybody's on the same page.
Mayberry appreciates you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he broke it down Barney style. I'm like, wow, you know, that information would have been helpful 3 years ago.
How about it? Yes, it would have been.
I start, I was talking to my wife and son, like, oh, you remember this? Do you remember when that? Because she was considered, we were both considered essential personnel. Because we were in the food processing. You know, I'm in delivery. She actually worked at a production facility called Webster Foods, which they do like a lot of specialty products.
Hmm.
And in fact, a lot of it is actually relabeled as Bucky's. But if you look at the label, you'll see Webster's Food, Rogers, Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
But, we both had letters. You know, if we were stopped by the police, we were supposed to produce this letter saying, it's okay, I can be out, I'm special.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, and then, like, the traffic. I mean, God, no traffic.
It was beautiful.
I used to be able to scream over to Oklahoma City and back. And I mean, no traffic. I'd be like the only one out there in the middle of the night. I loved it.
Yes. And it was glorious, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was funny. Last year on Black Friday, my truck was vandalized. I used to park it at our warehouse in Springdale.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the local gangs decided my truck needed to be affiliated with them, and they tagged it.
Wow.
And so they got me a drop yard in Rogers, which is literally like 2 miles away from my house. And where my house is at, we're 2 blocks away from a fire station. And today I was like, my wife's like, well, where are you going to do this? Are you going to talk to them in the garage or out on the patio? And I could hear the fire truck sirens. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll just do this in my truck at the drop yard because it's nice and quiet. Because literally, and I don't know what it is. The fire trucks, they turn the sirens on. It's like they drive around the block and then they go back. I'm like, what are you guys doing this? Why are you doing this every 20 minutes?
It's going out for a joyride.
Just keeping the battery charged.
But, you know, when I mentioned that, I said, that's another thing about 2020. He never heard sirens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, remember how quiet it used to be? And we could hear I-49. You could always hear the trucks on I-49.
Uh-huh.
It was just dead quiet. It was always just dead quiet. Like, nobody was out there. I'm like, man, I miss that stuff.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, I miss those nights 100%. You know, rush hour was like, it wasn't rushed.
Rush hour consisted of two trucks getting on the interchange at the same time.
Yeah. Slowing each other down. It was beautiful. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I remember getting on 80 and there's nobody coming at you and nobody coming up behind you. It's like, this is just, it's just you. I miss those days.
You and the wildlife.
Yes. I miss those days. Oh my word. Do I miss that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the one thing I'm cool with is that 6 foot distance. I was always like try to keep people at arm's length.
Yeah.
I mean, for the majority, I think people are still doing it. But when somebody starts creeping on me, I'm like, yo, dude, 6 feet.
Yep. I don't know what you got, dude. Back off. Yes, sir. I don't know. It's funny because I don't think we're ever going to get back to normal. I guess this is, you know, what everybody calls the new normal. I don't think we'll ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortunately, yeah. I was at the gloves truck stop down in Rudy, Arkansas Friday, and this guy's at the urinal, right hand doing what was assigned to do, the left hand down his ass crack.
Nice.
And I just looked at it, I'm like, okay. And then when done, he just walks right out. And then he was over there by the coffee. And I just walked up to him. 3 years ago, we had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Nasty people like you.
Yeah, I don't think a mask would have helped you for that.
Because of people like you, we get bugs.
And this is why I don't drink coffee.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Yep, that's why I take my own from home. Wow. Yeah, you know, it's a scary thing. You know, somebody goes in and you'd think, you know, what we went through for, you know, the two and a half years, whatever it was, you know, people that would linger in people's minds a little bit longer than it has. You know, wash your patties when you're done going potty. It's not hard. You know, and don't,
people in the store sneezing.
Yeah, filthy animals.
Yes. Yes.
Get out of the parking lot.
It is unbelievable. It is just crazy. It is a crazy, crazy world. And I don't see it ever getting back to better. It's not ever going to be better than it is now. It's just going to get worse.
It's just going to be a different kind of normal.
What? It's a different kind of... That's going to be a paranormal. Mm-hmm. Oh, you still worked that right in there. Uh-huh. You know what?
What's funny, you know, I was talking to my buddy last night. He goes, remember what I told you? And I was like, nah. He goes, I told you that, remember, one of these days, you're going to think back at this day and say, those were the good old times.
Yeah.
And you told me that back in 87 after the Philippines. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. That, you know, that clicked again. I'm like, yeah, that was the good old times, but it was a goddamn nightmare.
And it has just gone downhill from there.
It hasn't changed at all.
I was going to say, you're living the nightmare over and over again. Yep. Every day.
Freddy has invaded and it's not getting any better. It just isn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't, and it seems to be no end in sight. We're not ever going to get back to anything that is, what you would consider normal? Because, I mean, normal is objective. It's subjective, rather. It's a subjective, you know, everybody thinks that their normal is, well, this is what I think is normal. You know, to me, that's normal. Well, that's not normal. That's, you know, we go back further. So when things were normal, you know, the 70s, the 80s, you know.
Yeah. When you're a kid, stay out until the street lights come on and your ass better be home.
And then come home, right.
If I whistle, your ass should be hitting the door already.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Them's the good old days.
Them is the good old days. Them is. Well, Mark, this has been a fun walk. I appreciate you you coming on. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover or talk about?
Well, I mentioned it with the email to Jack.
Uh-huh.
I heard UFOs over Fort Carson when you guys did a Flashback Friday.
Yep.
A couple weeks ago.
Yep.
That was my first Hammer Lane Legends podcast that I listened to because I was just searching for Fort Carson. I'm like, I wonder if anybody ever talks about Fort Carson.
And
when I heard that, I'm like, I know exactly what that guy saw.
Oh, no kidding.
It was the MV-22 Osprey. It's the tilt rotor.
Uh-huh.
It tilted rotors forward and fly like an airplane and then swing it back and land like a helicopter.
Yep.
Government's been dicking around with this literally for almost 40 years.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah.
Killed a lot of good Marines, killed a lot of good crews.
Uh-huh.
They've actually stopped, I think just last year, the Marine Corps and the Navy and Air Force Special Operations said, we got 224 of these and we don't want any more.
Wow. Yeah. That was it, huh? Do they still use them at all? Are they, I imagine as they age, they're just going to age them right out eventually.
I think right now they've worked most of the bugs out, but you know, when you're flying at 200 feet and you want to rotate your engine and rotors and they decide they don't want to be with that program no more, you know,
it's all kinds of not good.
Yeah. My son's still, my oldest son's still in the Air Force and they had, He was with, it's a Spectre squadron out of Canon Air Force Base. I want to say 7th.
Uh-huh.
But he flew on the Spectres. He initially wanted to go on to the Ospreys. And I was like, no. I can't control you, but I refuse to allow you to fly on an Osprey.
Right. I don't
know. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too much.
And, but they had one that, had a transmission problem and it landed in a bog in Scotland last year.
Wow.
And when it landed in the bog, it was quote recoverable, but then it sank like 4 feet into the bog. And they literally practically had to like disassemble the aircraft and reassemble it to get it out of there.
Wow.
And for a while, the entire fleet was grounded. And if you look at also the Amtrak, the amphibious assault vehicle used by the Marines, it looks like it's kind of like a Bradley, but it can float by itself and go from ship to shore.
Right.
One of them sank in a training exercise, and it killed 5 Marines, I believe.
Wow.
And so they stopped those operating.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
I'm a real simple guy. There's something about the word tank and floating that just does not compute. I didn't go to college, but I'm just putting that out there, okay?
Well, to make it compute, it's not armed very well. So it doesn't have any heavy armor. So
I mean, we tried this with a car, okay? It had props on the back.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry.
When we used to ride in the Amtrak, when you go out the well deck of one of the amphibious ships, they literally punch it, and it goes like, you know, maybe 20 miles an hour, and you fly off that well deck and into the ocean, and you sink. You sink probably 20, 30 feet. I remember being behind the commander's copa. And looking out the windows that I could see from around his shoulders, and you know, you see the blue sky, and then the green water, and then it got dark, and then it started rising. We got our buoyancy popped back up.
We got our buoyancy back.
Yeah. Wow. There's a bilge pump on the bulkhead, and water would pour in. It was just part of the operation. Water would just pour in, but then the bilge pumps would spit it out. But if we had a boot, a new guy, this is his first jump, we'd always stick them right underneath that thing.
Nice.
And then when the water pours in, we'd all start screaming, "Oh my God, we're sinking!"
You know, it's a military thing, you know, that whole, well, it sinks first, but it comes back up.
Yeah. They usually come back up.
Only in the military do they do that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry, your little swimmy arms aren't going to help you here.
Your water wings.
Your flotation device is not your seat.
Oh, that's funny.
But right now, the Marine Corps has lost its projection power. There's not enough MV-22s to actually do an assault, and there's no AMPRAX.
Wow.
So we are all the way back to the founding of the Marine Corps. The first amphibious operation was some rowboats off of a Navy ship. Ran into Kingston Bay, Jamaica, and stole a couple of the British cannons. And
wow.
We're back at having to hop into little rowboats and scramble over the beach like that.
Well, yeah. Jesus Christ, you go down there to Alabama, you can get the Cajun Navy to come out. You got airboats at least. I know they float.
Oh, yeah.
And they float fast.
Yes. They got Chevy 350s mounted on the back of them babies.
Wow. You know, sometimes you don't realize how far back we've fallen in the past few years, yeah. Man. But hey, you know, we got money for Ukraine.
What's up? Are we going to go there again?
I know. I'm sorry. I went there.
This is the cheapest way to beat the Russians, and we don't got to lose our people.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to look at it.
We're at $85 billion, and unless you volunteered and went over there yourself, we haven't lost an American life. It's a sad way to look at it. And
yeah.
When Roger Waters, most of his concerts in Europe, because he went down, we watched him in Dallas, and he admitted during the concert, he goes, "This is the last time I'll ever be in America." And so, you know, it was, you know, we were like, wow, he's made that statement.
Yeah.
And I know when Warsaw and Berlin, he was canceled, and they're trying to do a cancel culture on him too. And he was just like, "You know what? I already got your money." I mean, he literally said that in an interview. He's like, "I already got your money."
He's way ahead of you, man.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is younger than Uncle Sleepy Time Joe. And he already realized, "I can't do this no more. I'm leaving."
Yeah. It is so sad, isn't it? You know, that's where we're at. We're willing to cancel anybody who doesn't agree. You know, I don't know.
I got cancel cultured on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. I had a video. It was a Weapons Company 2-5. It was the song Shoot High, Aim Low by Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I put it through a montage of pictures of our primarily our deployment in Honduras during the Sandinista War, 1988.
Okay.
And it had a lot of images of children. It was the Sandinista War. In particular, some of the child soldiers, and I got an email last month saying your video is exploiting children to violence. I'm like, it's history.
Wow, how about it?
Go check it out yourself. And that's what I replied to him and said, "It's history. I was there. I saw it. It happened. Get on with it."
Right, exactly.
I'm not personally exploiting them. Go talk to Daniel Ortega. He exploited them in Nicaragua.
Yes. Yes. So,
I was just screw it. Whatever. I'm not going to protest it. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, that's really what. Yeah, because they're going to anyway. You know, you can yeah. You know, throw out your protestations about it, and they're just going to say, "Well, we're going to do it anyway." You know, we didn't like it. Didn't fit our community standards or whatever
and agenda.
That's it.
They should have said, "I violated the copyright of the war correspondent that actually took those photographs."
Right.
And I violated the copyright of Yes. for using their music.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's nuts. It's nuts. I don't know, man. I don't know. But Mark, this has been fun. I appreciate you coming in again and having a conversation with us again. This was a nice Sunday afternoon. I appreciate that. I really do.
Appreciate you guys on the show and keeping us entertained while we're out here and while you're out there too doing your stuff.
He don't listen to his own show either, okay? I'm the only one that says, where the hell is the show at? It's supposed to be up already.
He says this all the time. I'm here. I already heard the show. My wife, who hasn't heard the show because she wasn't here when it was recorded.
Like 8 or 9 in the can, I would listen to, like to listen to the show because I could A, know which one everybody else is listening to and talking about.
You're funny, Shep. Yeah. You are funny. Well, anyway, Mark, it was nice talking with you. Thank you for coming back on. Thank you for having taking the time to come in and
thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for your service.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 100%.
I'm beginning to wonder that now. Believe me, I didn't serve, but I pity any, I'm thinking to myself, some of these people that actually serve might be saying, what, was it really worth it? Now? the way shit's going downhill?
Yeah, boy, I tell you, it is crazy. But anyway, if you enjoyed the show, and we hope you did, Shipper, what can the audience do if they enjoy the show?
They can share the shows with all their fellow friends, comrades, enemies, or whatever hell else they're identifying as.
And share it on every, social media platform that there is. Share it on YouTube, Facebook, X,
YZ.
Twitter, whatever it is. Because I have no idea what they are anymore. I don't even know.
That's it. Because you have the pulse of the community.
That's okay. Me, man. I'm the pulse of the community on Facebook. that's the only one I figured out. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure out the Instagram thing. I don't know. I ain't good at it.
Don't hold your breath on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ain't figured it. We ain't needing it.
Jack is working with me. I'm in remedial classes with Jack.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, you all take care. Shipper, sign us out.
Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Have a good night.
Take care.
See ya.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You'll never guess the places that I've been. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go. And I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. Go, 'cause I can't face it.
it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.